I'm prepared. Just reminded me, Shane has a song picked out for his funeral. It's Oh Happy Day. We might have to explain it to anybody who, and he's serious, he wants it played at his funeral. Because it is a happy day. We get to go with Be As Jesus. I've been coming along to the prayer nights as well, and I must say, we've been doing this for a number of years now. I was touched with something really fresh last night hearing from the missionaries, and I was just a bit overwhelmed with, you know, they're all in incredibly difficult situations. They can't come home to their, you know, they're off away from their extended families. And those with children, you know, their families are at high risk in these countries. And I just felt for it. But in each one of them, yeah, they shared their situation, but they said, but the people need us. We need an answer. We want some creative ways to reach out to our community. We can't go out our door, but we still want to reach our community. And their heart, I was actually really touched last night. So I would encourage you to come. Come. Bring your kids. Bring, you know, it's an awesome time. And our theme is revive us. Revive us. And I'd like to talk on that this morning. Psalm 85, verse 6 is a prayer. It says, won't you revive us again so your people can rejoice in you? Not just revive us, but revive us again. This isn't a one-time thing. This is revive us again. You know, the word revival is from the Hebrew word, chaya. And this is what it means: to bring back to life, to restore to consciousness, or restore to a previous condition. So I've been thinking, God, when I pray, revive me, revive us, what am I asking? What am I asking God to do when I say, revive me, revive us? You know, I'm not saying we're dead spiritually. I know I'm not dead, but still my heart is revive me, bring a freshness to my walk. And coming last night, I felt revived leaving that prayer meeting. I felt like God touched my spirit and gave me a fresh vision. And that's what we're hungry for. You know, most of you know I'm married to a cardiac nurse. And because of the area he works in, he comes home with resuscitation stories. He comes home and talks about, he actually saves lives. And a team, it's not just Shane on his own, but their team saves lives. I always used to, when we were at squash or swimming, I thought, well, Shane's here, we'll be right if anything happens. You know, he knows what to do. But in his work situation, there's a scale. And they do observations, and I did check. I might not have all the terminology right, but this is what they do. And they do this check, and it gives a person a certain score. And if they score, is it below? Above. If they score high, an emergency is called, a MET call. And but it's not always obvious that they're in trouble. You know, a person can be sitting up in the bed and need a MET call. A person may not have any chest pain, but there are things happening in their body that indicate they're in trouble. And I was, you know, thinking about that a little bit, how we can be spiritually like that. You know, appearing that everything on the outside is okay. We're doing all the right things. But inside, there's a desperate need for revival. Well, the good news is this is something God wants to do in us. It's the Holy Spirit who revives us. We actually cannot revive ourselves. Shane has not seen one person who's needed to be shocked grab the paddles and shock themselves. They need an expert. Like, we need an expert, and the Holy Spirit is our expert. You know, there's lots of symbols of revival in the Bible, and we pray them for ourselves. Oh, by the hey, Peter and Caleb. Nice to see you here with Chase. Got a new member to our church, a little two-week-old Chase. It's awesome to see you here, guys. Now I've lost my place, but I just caught sight of you. yeah, there's lots of symbols in the Bible of revival that we pray. Wind, and we've sung them this morning, the wind of your spirit. We pray for fire. We pray for rain. We pray that dry bones will come back to life. We pray for the breath of God. We cry out that we're thirsty and we're hungry and that we long to be filled. But I've been asking myself again, when I say those things, what am I asking for? And am I ready for the answer? Am I ready for God to do what he wants to do? Because I believe he wants to restore us to a fullness that we haven't yet experienced as a church and as individuals. And for the people in our community that are yet to come to know him. You know, if we're honest, we're often living under par. And we're not living an abundant life. We're not living in that fullness. If we were, our reactions would be different. Our homes would be different. Our workplaces, our relationships, our community would be different. You know, we sang this morning about the rain and the floodgates. You know, I often, when I think of the rain of the Spirit, I get this picture of this gentle rain. You know, this beautiful, gentle rain coming. I actually don't think it's like that. We pray the floodgates of heaven. Who saw a picture? Jan and Clyde were up there, Barren Falls, in the last little while. Flooding. We've just had pictures come back on our TV screens about Brisbane flooding 10 years ago. The floodgates opened and it swept things away. It was a torrent. It wasn't a gentle rain. God does come gently, but he also comes with a rush. Camping. Nothing more than our family likes than a campfire. It's cozy. It's inviting. There's marshmallows. There's the, not so much now, but there used to be a guitar, and singing was a great place. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is like that. I think his fire is actually consuming, and it burns up dross. It's an old King James word. It burns up sin, burns up things that don't please God. So when we pray that, we're actually praying, God, come and consume me. Come and fill me. Come and take away the things that don't please you. Change me. Revival touches and consumes every part of our lives. It soaks and renews, restores and refreshes. It brings change and transformation. So when we pray, revive us, we're praying a risky prayer. God hears those prayers. They're powerful prayers, and God answers and comes and moves. And we need to be ready for him to do it. Then every part of us will rejoice, like the psalmist said. We'll be alive, we'll be quickened. I was reading recently in 1 Samuel, and it's not where I would normally turn if I was looking for a scripture about revival. But before Jed asked me to share, these scriptures had stood out to me, and in a way like they haven't before. So I'm not going to read it all because it goes over two chapters. But David's already been anointed as a boy. Samuel came and asked Jesse, gather your family. And he gathered his family, minus David. Even his father didn't see anything in David that was worthy of bringing him to a meal with the prophet. But he's the one that God chose and set him aside. But he continued being a shepherd and doing what his father told him to do. His three older brothers went off to war. And David had the job of going and taking supplies and coming back home. This had been going on for 40 days where Goliath came out and was taunting the Israelites and saying, you can't defeat me. You know, and if you send one man to defeat me, whoever wins, they'll be the conqueror. We'll either rule you or you'll rule us. And this one day, David came and the Israelites had already gone out to the battlefield. So David left his supplies and trotted on out to catch up with his brothers. And I think most of us know what happened. There are a few people there that stood out to me. It's Goliath. Goliath was confident. He was strong. He had conquered many foes, but he didn't know who he was up against. Verse 8 says, this is Goliath teaching, I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. He did not know that they were the servants, the family of God. There were the Israelites, and they were living in fear. They'd lost sight of who they were fighting for, who they belonged to, and they couldn't see past their natural circumstances. And then along comes David, thought he was maybe about 16, a young boy, youngest of 8 sons. He started asking questions. He wasn't happy with the circumstances. He wasn't happy with the status quo. He thought, what are you guys doing? Who is this guy anyway? Who is he? And he asked enough questions that it came to Saul's ears. And so he got him in. And David, we know what happened. David became the conqueror. What made him different? His brothers thought he was an upstart. I can actually understand that a little. They'd all been bypassed. The youngest son had been brought in. They'd all been overlooked. And here's David, and he comes out, and the brother goes, what are you doing here anyway? He actually asks the question, why are you here? But David kept saying, who is this Philistine that he would defy our God? What made him different? He had God's perspective on the battle, and he saw past the challenges in the natural, and he stood his ground. He didn't see Goliath as impossible. He saw him as big enough to not miss, too big to miss. He knew he could get him. So what did he bring to the battlefield? He was offered Saul's armor, but he turned it down. And he chose to confront Goliath with what he had, his shepherd's staff and a slingshot. And he picked up some stones from the stream on his way out. They weren't special stones. They weren't ones that he had practiced with. They weren't ones that he knew he could trust. He just picked up stones from the stream and went out. But he knew that God was with him. So he bought more than just a shepherd's staff and a slingshot. He bought David the shepherd. He bought David the son. And he bought David the worshipper. And he bought David the believer. All of who he was is what he brought to the battlefield. He didn't just trust in his ability to throw a stone, although he was practiced and skilled. He didn't sit down and say, oh, I've got to sing a song and I've got to seek God. Although he loved to worship, he'd already been doing that. It was a lifestyle. But something stirred in his spirit that caused him to rise up. Imagine a 16-year-old boy in front of all those Israelites saying, hang on a minute here. He had some gumption. He knew who was with him and that he'd be able to defeat Goliath. In chapter 17, verses 45, So Goliath has said, you come to me in the name of Saul. David replied to Goliath, you come to me with sword, spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you. He actually didn't say, I will conquer you. He said, the Lord will conquer you. And the biggest weapon that David brought to the battlefield was faith in a faithful God. And we know how the story ends. It's a bit gruesome, actually. Goliath had his head chopped off. He was defeated. The Philistines were running. The Israelites suddenly were stirred, gave a great shout and chased and plundered the Philistines, and David became the hero. There is a reason I've shared all that, Will. All right. A couple of years ago, Gary Levins came, I think it was about this time of the year, beginning of the year. He shared a message about being on simmer and being ready and quick to come to the boil. Not in rage, not in anger, but ready, looking for what God's about to do. This little bubble happening, this thing happening in the spirit that when God says, yes, we're ready to go. I believe that's what David had. And the reason how we get that simmer is spending time in his presence. David did what was required of him, and he was connected to God personally and deeply. And that's what he brought with him to the battle. You know, I don't believe we're needing resuscitating, but I do believe a time of prayer and fasting is getting us up to a simmer, increasing our water levels, increasing our heat, increasing our desire, seeking God for what he wants to do. I want to be ready. And it might not be that I have a giant like Goliath to kill, but I want to have a word of encouragement when someone needs encouraging. I want to be ready to witness with boldness when I get the opportunity. I want to be quick to pray about things that come across my path. I want to bring hope to people that I spend time with. Now, often when I think about revival, I've thought, I need to pray more. I need to read my Bible more. I need to witness more. I need to serve more. But although those things are important and essential, they're not actually what I need for revival. What I need is more of God, and he's looking for more of me. When I focus on what I need to do, it often results in condemnation because I'm never going to do enough. We could all pray more. We could all read our Bibles more. But when we focus on that, it doesn't leave us in a good place. It leaves me feeling guilty and far from God. And God doesn't want us to be condemned. He died that condemnation would no longer have a hold on us, because condemnation pushes us away from God and says, I'm never going to get this right. I'm not good enough. I wonder what Hayden's thinking about me. I wonder what Jed's thinking about me. Conviction in the Holy Spirit draws us close and says, we've got this. Together we can do this. Because God created us and he knows us, and he wants to restore and encourage. He wants to quicken us. He wants to heal us. And he wants to use us. David realized that God would use what he had. He brought what he had. And God wants to use what we have. And he wants to stir what we have, not just the spiritual aspects of our life, but every part, our past, our tough times, our talents, our desires, our jobs, our homes, our relationships, because that's what makes us us. I had intended to bring two props today. As you can see, I've only got one. I was going to bake a chocolate cake. And I was going to, sorry, there was going to be some for morning tea, but I read a devotional a few recently that started my thoughts along this line. And when you think of a chocolate cake, you don't think of flour, unless you're the one making it. You don't think of eggs. You don't think of sugar. You think chocolate cake. Who thought when I said I was going to bring chocolate cake this morning, who thought of the flour? Yeah, not one hand. But is the flour essential? Yeah. None of them are particularly nice on their own, but boy, when they're beaten and mixed and had heat applied, it tastes really good. And no one wants to go back to the individual ingredients. We're the same. We're made up of our whole. Every part of our life is interconnected and influences the other bits. We have a saying about putting on a different hat. We actually don't do that. We take all of us to everything we do. Yeah, there might be a different expression of us in different situations, but we are who we are, and God loves who we are. David brought the shepherd to the battle, and David the son, David the worshipper, into a battle where he became David the giant slayer. And all of those areas were part of him becoming David the king and David the man after God's own heart. Everything he did led to him being those things. God sees me as a mum. He sees me as a teacher, as a wife, sees me as a daughter, even sees my rebellion as a teenager. All those things shape me and make me. I'm the product of all my ingredients. And that's what God wants, not just the individual bits and pieces. He wants us all, and he wants to revive and touch every part of our lives. You know, to live in fullness, we need reviving every day. You know, we stir from our sleep. We are revived every morning in the natural. On a hot day, we take a glass of cool water. And don't we love air conditioning? It's reviving. You know, our spirits need reviving. You know, conferences and dedicated times of corporate prayer are wonderful. And I personally, I need them. I look forward to them, and they really add something to my life. But more important than that is our personal, intimate connection with God. And that happens at home, just like I don't come and get dressed at church. I do my spiritual dressing, my spiritual preparation at home. It's the safest place to be vulnerable before God in his presence. So where do we start? The Holy Spirit does the reviving, but we need to prepare our hearts and be open for revival to come. It can be a bit scary when we lay down our life and say, God, have your way, here I am. We don't know what he's going to do, but we can trust him. We need to position ourselves to allow the flood, the rain, to touch us. Here's my trusty umbrella. Now, when it rains, I don't know about you, but I don't like getting wet. McFarlane holiday is not complete without rain. Every time we go camping, we take gumboots and umbrellas and we use them. But when God's rain comes, he doesn't want us sheltering under anything. And this morning I'd like to challenge you and ask you, is there an umbrella in your life that's stopping his rain from touching your spirit? Is there any unforgiveness? Is there any fear? Is there insecurity? Is there any bitterness? And I've been there, say, but you don't know what they did to me. I don't want to take that umbrella away. I'm quite comfortable holding that umbrella because you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said. And no, I don't. I don't know your hurts, but God does. And he wants to heal. And the way that he heals is for us to take the umbrella away and say, God, heal. God, forgive. God, come. Jed shared a few weeks ago about remembering, repenting, and returning. I really enjoyed it. I listened to it this week. But he shared how it doesn't look the same for everyone. There isn't a neat little package that you get when you become a Christian and say, here it is, here's the manual, this is how you do this. Yeah, we have God's word, which is wonderful. It's precious and it's life-giving. But our journey, each of our journeys looks different. So I'd like to share a few things that God has put in my life that help me open my heart to him. Acts 3:19-20 says, this is one of my go-to scriptures. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Often our starting place is, Lord, here I am. I have sat in my lounge many times and I've sat there and I've been, God, this has been happening. Or God, it's been a while since I've really connected. But here I am. Forgive me. Here I am. And God starts afresh. As we acknowledge that we aren't where we could or should be, God refreshes and brings new life. One of the things I love most about David's life is his honesty and how he was vulnerable before God. He laid it out before God. He didn't hide anything. And God always lifted him up. David wasn't perfect and failed many times, yet God calls him a man after his own heart. You know, for those of you who aren't aware, Shane's dad passed away recently, and we watched the funeral online and didn't get to have any input in the funeral. It was an interesting experience in lots of different ways. But one of the references that the minister made as he was completing his thing was, well done, good and faithful servant. And it's something we all long to hear. But what I'd love to hear God say to me when I'm done is, you were a woman after my own heart. You were a worshipper. You were a woman who sought me. You were after my heart. You know, sometimes when we find ourselves needing that revival, where we're needing to repent, it's like we need someone to come along, and it's the Holy Spirit, but in the put paddles on us and give us a spiritual shock. We need to be reset. We need to have our heart have a jolt. And because God's mercies are new every morning, we get a new start. And the past no longer has a hold on us. We need to open our Bibles. And as we open our Bibles, we need to open our hearts. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Excuse me. Come with an expectant heart. Come with a notebook and a pen. Believing God is going to speak to you. And for the times when it can be a bit dry, and there are times when it's dry, don't give up. This is how we get to know God better. Spending time knowing that his word is living. It's not just a book. It's not just a spiritual exercise. We're encouraged to meditate day and night. We're to love the word. We're to be fed by the word. We need to pray. It's not just a spiritual exercise. It's like talking to your best friend. It's like talking to your spouse. It's about being real and open. And that's how relationship deepens and develops. I was looking for an inspirational quote about prayer and came across this one that I really liked by, her name is Kim Sung-hae, Yonggi Cho's wife. I thought, there's a couple that know how to pray. And she was speaking at a large women's conference in the States on prayer. And everyone was poised. And she said, I know you're poised to find out the secrets of prayer. Thanks, Rach. But this is what I'd encourage you to do. And these are her words. Open mouth, pray. Open mouth, pray. I love it. You know, there's no formula. There's no secret. There's no method that we have to follow to pray. Sure, there's lots of examples in the Bible, lots of encouragements in the Bible. But we just need to do it. Just need to pray. Prayer moves God, but it also changes us. You know, I think Jed mentioned it this morning. No? Anyway, no, Ben. Doesn't matter. But we're often driven to prayer when we're facing difficulties. You know, it's not difficulties that change us. You know, we have that term, you know, it'll either make you bitter or better. And we see two people going through similar situations and one thrives and one comes under it. It's not the difficulty that changes us. It's getting into the presence of God about that difficulty, praying about it, seeking God about it. It's time in his presence that changes us. When we cry out to him in prayer, it's worship. Because really we're saying, God, I need you. I trust you. I worship you. You're my everything. The Bible encourages us to pray without ceasing. I haven't got there yet, but I do know there's something that stirs in my spirit. I often wake up praying in tongues, find myself at school, just walking through the corridors, I'm praying. It's actually an awareness that the Holy Spirit is with me. We're encouraged to pray in the Spirit, to pray for one another, to pray with thanksgiving, to keep on praying, pray about everything. Open mouth, pray. The other thing that I find I need to do is to make a choice to make the most of every opportunity, corporately and privately. Jed says that we're doing a few things today, but Shane and I, for many years, have, unless God says no when we're praying about something, we say yes. We say yes to being involved. We say yes to prayer. We say yes to, you know, I could have easily said no to Jed, and I thought, well, I actually should pray about it, about sharing this morning, because it was on short notice and I wasn't meant to share till later in the month. But I prayed and I thought, I should say yes. You know, and there's something in it that when we say yes, God backs us. Now, I'm not saying about striving and trying to do everything and being super busy. None of us are interested in that. God does sometimes say no and to step back and to not be involved in certain things, but make the most of every opportunity. Have fellowship. Go out for coffee with someone. If there's an area that's stirring in your heart, find out about it. Talk to someone. If it's youth, talk to Hayden. Say, how can I pray for youth? They're looking for new leaders. You know, if it's something stirring, go talk to Hayden. You know, get involved with the things that are in your heart. Get praying behind them. Get to know your neighbours. Knock on their door. Talk over the fence. Start getting involved in people's lives. Invite your workmates home for a meal. Get to know them beyond. Look for opportunities to be able to speak into people's lives. I wonder if the team could come back this morning. You know, revival is something that God does. But it starts with us. And whatever it is, revival in your life will probably look a little bit different to revival in my life. What it means to be stirred and fresh in the Spirit. But I'd like to be like David this morning and not be satisfied with the status quo. But actually stand up in our spirits and actually lift a cry to him and say, would you revive us again? We're believing God's going to come and touch our hearts. He's preparing us for what's to come. We're believing that God is going to move in Caboolture. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be a part of that. Because God has got us here for a reason. It's not by chance that we're all a part of this church. And just as I'm made up of me and all my ingredients, we are made up of us. We're the Hope Point chocolate cake. All our different ingredients. So we're going to stand, we're going to sing, Let It Rain. And I'd invite you to make it a prayer. God, come and revive me again. Come and touch me again, that I'd be ready for what you want to do. And if there's an umbrella, I'm not saying go looking, but if there's something that has stirred in your spirit that said, I need to hand that over, do it this morning. Offer it up to God. Come out the front. Someone will pray with you if you want someone to pray with you. Otherwise, you might just want to stand in the presence of God and lift your hearts and let his rain come. But it's got to start with us. It's got to start with a cry in our heart. Would you revive us again? Would you revive me, God? Would you come and pour your rain? And let your love and your goodness flow in me and quicken me. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, he wants to tell you how much he loves you. He came and he died that you might know him. If you don't know him this morning, I invite you to come to the front while we're singing, while everybody's standing. Someone will come and pray with you and introduce you to the King of the universe, the Savior and the lover of your soul. We want to make an opportunity. If you need healing this morning, if you've got a hurt, lift it up in the presence of God and let his rain come and wash that thing away. Whatever it is, let the cry of your heart be, revive me again, God. I'd invite you to stand. We're going to sing. We're going to sing, Let It Rain.